concerns me greatly about our young kids, or grandkids, and our kids that we are raising, the future, what holds for them, from the time that born into the world, things have changed greatly in that the access that the kids have today is greater than what we had. Most of the people that we grew up with, even though we're not members of the Lord's kingdom, were honest people and hardworking. And today, young children are exposed to so much that we were never exposed to. And that concerns me, are we giving them the right tools as far as bringing them up, that they'll be able to handle the pressures that they're going to face as they grow older in this life? Paul admonishes us in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, to take those things that was written aforetime for our learning, because we need to learn from the past mistakes that God's people made. We need to learn from our past mistakes that we have made, that we can correct those things and teach our children and grandchildren as we should. God often admonishes the children of Israel of how they are to teach their children, and for the purpose of teaching their children, especially in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that they were to love the Lord your God with all your heart. This they were to teach to their children diligently, morning and evening. And he says, you shall write them on your doorposts from your house and on your gates. And sadly, we see that this did not take place for long among the children of Israel. Therefore, you have Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, that there arose a generation who knew not God because Israel failed to teach their children. And failure to teach that led again to their downfall, to a generation that knew not God. And so they decided, instead of following God's directions, they were to direct their own steps. And the scriptures warn us on the idea of us trying to direct our own steps, to figure out what we need to do instead of what God desires for us to do in serving Him. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. There's a lot more verses that you could list concerning this, that we don't need to be considering what we think is right, what others think is right, but be concerned with what our Creator, who created us, knows what is right for us. Proverbs 20 and verse 24, a man's steps are of the Lord. How can a man understand his own ways? And we can't. Proverbs 16 and verse 1, the plans of the heart belong to man. And that was Israel's downfall, that they devised their own plan in the worship, how they were going to worship God. But God's Word teaches us we are not to put trust in ourselves, but in Him. Psalms 119, 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Proverbs 6 and verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law, light. Reproofs are instruction, are in the way of life. And so these instructions are found in God's commandments and not in what we think that we need to be doing. Psalms 119 and verse 172, my tongue shall speak of your word. And this needs to be foremost on our mind. Do we speak as the oracles of God, and not what we devise, we think that we need to speak in concern as far as teaching our children? But again, there's many more passages that you could use. And the scripture uses this idea that God has given us patterns to follow in this life. He gave the children of Israel patterns to follow, but they failed to do so. And we see that the scriptures teach this. Exodus 25 and verse 9, according to all I show thee after the pattern. That God has not left us out without design of what we need to be doing in this life. And that goes for teaching our children and teaching our grandchildren in the world that they live in, that they're facing. There's patterns or guidelines that you must go by, that you will make it and be a success in this life and following those patterns. Exodus 25 and verse 40, thou shalt make them after their pattern. A lot of these has to do with the building of the tabernacle. Numbers 8 and verse 4, make them according to their pattern. And according, when you look at this word, means by the authority of, or reported as if something's been stated. So as God spoke to Moses, Moses reported what God spoke to him. You follow this pattern in doing this. and it also applied to the teaching of their children. Joshua chapter 22 and verse 28, behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord. And some versions may use the word, here is the replica which you are to follow. And again, we should find great comfort that God has not left us in the dark on any aspect of our life. He's given us guidelines for all aspects of our life. The phrase according to or behold the pattern, again, it's used many times in the Bible. But these are just a few. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 16. Paul says, I obtained mercy that through me Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern. He's given us a pattern when we are in suffering, things that we ought to do, what we ought to do. Titus 2 and verse 7. Paul there says, showing yourself a pattern of good works. The Bible is filled with good works that we must do. He's not left us in the dark what he wants and what he classifies as a good work. It's not left up to me what I consider a good work, but what God considers a good work. And so we have those patterns. He goes on to say, integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. This is accomplished through patterns. They're accomplished through God's patterns and not my or yours pattern. The teaching of our children, for they to be sound in faith, should be taught according to what God says to be taught, not what I find that I may need to teach them. There are three words in the Greek New Testament translated pattern, but one used the most is tupos, T-U-P-O-S. And it carries with it a number of different words that mean the same thing. In John 20 and verse 25, unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, this idea of the print that was in his hand is the same word as pattern. Figure, in Acts 7 and verse 43, images which you made for worship, the images or figures. Romans 5 and verse 14, you have a couple of words there. That death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness or similitude of the transgression. It's the same word as pattern. Fashion. Acts 7 verse 44, that you make all things according to the fashion that he had seen. And some versions may use the word pattern in place of fashions in this. Acts 23 and verse 25, he wrote a letter in the following manner. Manner is the same word as pattern. Form, in Romans 6 and verse 17, that you have obeyed the form of doctrine or the pattern of doctrine that God has designed in baptism. That's God's pattern. That's God's form. And yet you have greatly people not following that form or that pattern as far as today. Titus 2 and verse 17, again showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. 2 Timothy 3 and 1 verse 13, hold fast a pattern of sound words. Our speech is governed by patterns of how we're told to speak. Young folks, God's given directions of your speech and how you use speech among friends that you're with each and every day. Hebrews 9 verse 23, it was necessary that the copies of the thing in the heavens should be purified with these. Copies are patterns. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, there is also an antitype which now saves us. It's the same as pattern. There's a pattern that now saves us. All these are from the Greek word tupos. Hebrews 10 verse 1, for the law having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things. Pattern. And again, the context where these words are used, and they may be more that you can come up with, should not be overlooked, for in there, how these words are used in a certain context determines the meaning of what the writer is talking about. Joseph Thayer says the definition for pattern is the mark of a stroke for blow or print. It's something that you strike that leaves the imprint of that. And I made reference before, and I'm not for sure everybody that's in here was familiar with the old show Dragnet and Joe Friday, that they would have an anvil there type thing and were striking something. It would come out V11. It was the imprint made by a blow. And that's what a pattern is. It shows a pattern of that which was being hit. But Thayer says it's a figure formed by a blow or impression, hence it's an image that was created. That's a pattern. W. Bullinger says a mark or impress made by a hard substance on a softer one. It's something that you take that's hard, you make the impression on something that's soft. It's a model or a pattern. Lindell and Scott, the impress of a seal, the stamp of a coin. When you look at your coins, you have an impression there. Christ asked the question, whose image is on the coin concerning Caesar? So his impression was on that coin. And that's what a pattern is. It's a stamp of a coin, a print, a mold, a system. Then he says it's a form of doctrine. That's what this is. It's a pattern for us. W. Vines says it's a form or mold, that the gospel is the mold. And I like his definition. Those who are obedient to his teaching become conformed to Christ. It's like we're poured into the mold of the life that Jesus left for us. We become that pattern, or should become that pattern, because he has left that imprint there for us to follow. But you have comments by various authors who says concerning this word. J.S. Hawson says, obeyed from the heart, that form or mold, literally the mold or form of teaching into which you were transmitted. That there's a mold in which you were transmitted, and it puts you in to the kingdom. As Colossians 1 verse 13, delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed or transferred us into the kingdom. So there's a mold or a form or a pattern that places you from one to the other. But it has to be the correct pattern that takes you out of darkness to light. Not just any pattern that denominations follow today. That we have left this imprint on us here, what we must do to be saved. And only that will transfer us from darkness to light. Andrew McLaren, he is no use having a perfect pattern unless you have a motive to copy it. He says a perfect pattern must come from one that is perfect. So we have that perfect pattern in Christ. We have it recorded in this Bible for us. Matthew Henry, you have obeyed from the heart that form. Again, the gospel is a doctrine not only to be believed, but to be obeyed. To be a Christian indeed is to be transformed in the likeness, similitude, again, pattern of the gospel. And he says it's literally to be poured into that mold. And that's questions we have to ask. Are we poured into that mold in all that we're doing? Would that also involve that we're teaching our children and grandchildren correctly if we're in that mold? Because that's going to require what we do in this life for this generation that's coming up. And not be as Israel, that we're raising a generation that knew not God. And so there's a correct way to teach our children. And they're being taught a lot of things by a lot of different people. And what other people are teaching at times is a lot more appealing to our children and grandchildren. So we need to be teaching. We need to understand what the patterns that God has given us today to be teaching. Our pattern today is Christ. Again, he's a perfect example. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. Here, example here means to underwrite or to write under. Or to trace letters. And we're all familiar with tracing. I can remember the old figure number that you would go in that circle and you put what that was or the one or so on. It's like a stencil. And letters or numbers posted on a chalkboard which the child tries to imitate. They're placed there before the child. The child tries as best he can to imitate that letter, whether it be capital or small, a number, whatever. And we understand if we went to school, most of us had this. That it's a chalkboard that you're trying to imitate what is written on that chalkboard. It says that research done on this word suggests the thought that when the student would do the very best that he or she could to imitate what was posted in letters and numbers, that the teacher would take their hand and help them to do a better job, and that's Christ. He's our teacher. He'll take our hand when we're trying the very best we can to imitate Him. He'll take our hand and help us through the patterns that He's given us. So He will help them to do a better job. And briefly, Christ is our example. When you look at the character that we need to be, you can look at no one greater in character than what Christ was. That's who we need to imitate or follow His pattern. In His teaching, I just wrote down a few, there may be more. In His teaching, Christ never used an unsound argument. The arguments that He made was always sound. They could not be refuted. That needs to be our design. That's what we strive for. That we put close the mouth of those who teach false doctrine by our sound arguments. And that takes growth. It's not something that's accomplished overnight. Christ never gave a false statement. The words He spoke was truth. Christ condemned every false way. Do we do that? Do we do that in our children and grandchildren? If not, we're not following the pattern that's been left for us. He knew truth was absolute. He was willing to suffer any pain in order to act in harmony with the truth. Sometimes the teaching of children and grandchildren can cause great difficulty. But it's something that has to be done if we care any bit for their soul. It's not always enjoyable. They do not always enjoy it. But it's something that we have to do. And sometimes it causes a great deal of tension between parents and child or grandparents and child. But still, Christ taught regardless of the outcome of what people thought. And we need to, they need to know what God desires of them to be right before Him as they walk in this life. And what I've got to do and you've got to do is give an answer to God in judgment. Did I do that? Not that you're going to be held accountable because they didn't obey, but did I do that to the best of my ability through the patterns that Christ gave me? Show that one's mission in life was to do God's will. That was taught. Showed us how we're to fight the devil. And in doing all these, He gave us patterns. The life of Christ was absolutely perfect. His character never changed. He was perfect in all that He done. Therefore, His patterns are perfect. And again, I must also do exactly, precisely, to the letter, word for word, line for line, according to the pattern. Romans chapter 6 gives us a pattern. If you're here this evening and have not been obedient to the gospel, you have not been baptized from darkness into light. Paul there gives, and there are many more verses that we can quote. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" He says, "Certainly not. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer in it? Or you do not know, as many as us were baptized into Christ," here's your pattern, "been baptized into His death." That's where the blood is reached. That's where sins are remitted. And therefore, we are buried with Him through baptism to death, that just as Christ raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We begin a different life that we're living. It's to be new, free from the sin that we once had. He says, we've been united with Him in the likeness of His death. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. And down in verse 17, he says, "But God be thanked that you were slaves of sin. You have obeyed that form that we just read." So when it comes to teaching our children, the only form or pattern you can teach that baptism is necessary for forgiveness. You teach anything else, you may as well do as the children of Israel done and let your kids grow up not knowing who God is or what God requires. If you're here tonight and you're subject to the gospel call, we invite you to come.